Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. It has been a week of hiatus after the last episode that we produced, and we do apologize on that. But today's going to be a little bit of a special episode, at least as far as how the format is going to go. It is going to be a live solo show. So, yeah, should be interesting. I'm by myself. Unfortunately, everyone else had stuff already kind of planned and work and all this stuff. So it's just going to be me today. And yeah, should be fun. Should be interesting. It's not like the first time we ever released a solo podcast episode. But it is going to be the first time that I do a solo episode live and with a little bit of a longer format. Usually when I do these solo podcasts, they're about 15, 20 minutes long, and they're real short. And so today, the objective is going to be kind of to stretch that out. I mean, there's going to be plenty to talk about. We haven't spoken since America's victory against, against Salt Lake, St. Louis, excuse me, against St. Louis. And so we'll talk a little bit about Colorado. We'll talk about what, you know, that whole mess and situation was. And then, of course, we'll get into what happened against Puebla. And then we'll end the episode with a preview for the upcoming match against Cruz Azul in the Clásico Joven as things start to ramp up in the league for Las Águilas del América. But all right, then. Now that the formalities are out of the way, let's get into what we haven't spoken about in about a week, and a week of lots and lots of updates in regards to Las Águilas del América. So, to start off, obviously, we were just coming back from beating St. Louis midweek, and we knew that our opponent was then going to be Colorado Rapids. I think América approached this game a little bit. They didn't approach this game scared. I think they approached this game as lazy. You know, I think they very much went into this game with the mindset of this is kind of ours, and they played kind of in the sense of the jersey is gonna win this game for me. Like, you know, I'm not gonna have to really break a sweat. We saw chance after chance kind of be wasted by these players, and ultimately, we saw the result of it, which was, you know, America kind of playing overly confident at times, never really getting out of second gear because they felt like they didn't necessarily need to. And granted, if they would have put away a couple of chances in the first half, even in the second half, that game would have 100% gone differently. Colorado played to what they wanted to do, which was easily sit back, park the bus, get America on the counter, you know? And I would love to sit here and say that America completely dominated that game. It would be poor of me to do so because Colorado had their chances. They just finished poorly, just as much as America did. But if Colorado would have scored on America, I think they would have woken them up as well, and we would have seen a much better America side after that. So really, the fact that there was no goals in that matchup, I think, really ultimately is what handicapped the game entirely for America. And so we all know America ends up going to penalties, and it's a long penalty shootout. You know it's a long penalty shootout when your goalkeepers end up taking penalty shots. Okay, and look, America has never had the best of luck with penalty shootouts. So, you know, it was unfortunate that America ended up kind of putting themselves in that situation. And yeah. Completely spaced out here. Yeah, no, absolutely. It was unfortunate that America ended up kind of putting themselves in that situation. Penalty shootout, they always say, is kind of like one of those things where you kind of throw it up to luck. And yeah, it was unfortunate that America ended up being in that situation. But it looks like joining me, though, it looks like it's not going to be a completely solo podcast. It is Mr. Chris Rivera. Chris, you joined.
Yeah, I'm on my phone. My bad. I just do this quick because I was kind of busy. But yeah, if I end up leaving, it's because my phone's acting weird right now. I don't know what's wrong. And I'm my bad if I'm super red. I don't know why I look so red on my screen. But yeah, I joined. I was able to join. A little bit late, but I'm here.
Nice. Well, welcome. I honestly really thought that was going to be a solo podcast, but I guess not. This is great. Great news for me. I was thinking, how am I going to talk on the screen for 45 minutes plus? But now that you're here, it should be a little bit easier. I was kind of just going over the whole Colorado game and kind of, you know, the disappointment that was the penalty shootout. And America's track record in penalties has never really been the best. It looks like we lost Chris for a second here, but while he makes his way back here. The game against Colorado, really unfortunate, not great. And I like Plains says, was that the game? Really was hoping for a win, but it is what it is. And that kind of was the mindset, or at least the sentimental feeling of it after America's exit in the League Cup. It was like, well, it is what it is kind of situation, right? If we look at it from a progression standpoint, it is it's definitely an upgrade from last season's League Cup. But again, it's a sour taste because you exit out in the competition again in penalties and in a kind of dramatic sense as well, because, you know, maybe not as drastic as last season with Nashville, but it still is a penalty shootout in which, you know, of some sorts, things just don't technically pan out in that sense. Chris, do we have finally got you back?
Hello?
We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't know what's wrong with this, but my bad if I leave you alone again. I had to do some stuff all day. So my bad if I'm late. Yeah.
Nah, you're fine.
So what are we talking about?
I was literally just wrapping up against Colorado and kind of the misfortunes of America again exiting the League's Cup in a penalty shootout. And the fact that America didn't play their best game, but, you know, it was kind of one of those things. And I like Plains put it perfectly, said it, was really hoping for the win, but it is what it is. And I kind of mentioned that was kind of the sentiment all around Twitter was, you know, America is the League's Cup. It is what it is in that sense. And I think from our standpoint and our point of view, at least since we, you know, a little bit more critical and we deep dive into the team, we analyze this a little bit more. You, for your perspective, it definitely was, it is what it is situation, right? Came in, we progressively got better. We got some players, some minutes. It is what it is. You exit. Oh, well. I was more in the sense of, you know, it was a poor match. This is going to kind of bleed into the league. And I just didn't like the way that we exited. And I said, you know, the fact that we're America, the competition should be taken with utmost importance, because we said we were going to come into this League's Cup and win it, like if we're going to walk through. And we just kind of, we went out in a poor way. I would have wanted us to go out fighting, and it felt like we went out just kind of deflated, just with a sense of like, oh well.
Yeah, completely agree with you. I think the more I think about it, It really makes me wonder how we didn't really travel, right? So we can't really blame travel on this. But I do wonder, you know, I think this is a conversation that we need to have as a league, not necessarily a team, that for some reason they struggle with short weeks, you know? And it's not just us, it's everyone, you know? Like I said, it's not a travel thing because we only stayed in one spot, but it is concerning that you know we play this game, right? And like you said, mind you, I think Colorado played a how do I say this without being mean, but kind of a rat way, right? Sit back, try to counter. They weren't necessarily successful in that. They just defended good, and they kind of dragged it all the way to penalty, right? Smart from their perspective, right? Because it worked out. Now you look at it from our side, and it looked like we were just dragging, you know? We were kind of just not looking for a goal, or we were looking for a goal, but not the way we usually look, not the way we kind of attack, because we play against teams like that around the league, right? We just played Puebla, and I'm sure we're going to get into that in a bit, right? But teams like that, they just literally just sit back and try to get the result, which a tie is perfect for them. And usually we know how to break down those defenses. And for whatever reason, you know, I don't know if it's just the Mexican teams don't know how to play short weeks, or, you know, I don't know exactly what, but that's kind of the way I kind of look at it now, right? Because you and I had conversations about this Puebla game against Colorado. For me, I was okay with the way we left, because it wasn't necessarily like, oh, you got eliminated, you got dominated. It was more like that team survived, and at that point, it was all luck, right? If Igor doesn't shoot his penalty with this torn ligament and all that, who knows how we would have ended those penalties, right? But yeah, for me, I was okay, you know. I was annoyed of the slander, I'll tell you that much. I don't know if you felt slander from other fan bases. I was annoyed of that. But at the end of the day, like I said, you know, that tournament, the way it's built, the structure of it, I really didn't take it serious. I looked at it as a friendly tournament where it was about building up. Sadly, we went through injuries, but at the end of the day, you know, for me, I was okay with the way we competed. Obviously, you in all tournaments, you want to win, but you kind of have to look at it from a half full, half empty type perspective, right? And for me, it was like a half full thing where I'm okay with it. I'm not looking at the emptiness. I'm looking at it like, okay, we competed. That's what matters, you know.
No, I agree, and I mean, I'm pessimist by nature. I'm just a pessimist, so I saw it as a half empty situation. And you know, maybe I was reading between the lines in some of it, but I do feel like America had a responsibility, not to the league and definitely, you know, to themselves, but I felt like they had to go in there, step up, and do better than they did last season in League's Cup. And granted, they did, right? We got through to the next round. Unfortunately, we get booted out in the same way as we did in penalties. But I guess from a progressive standpoint of view, it was a success in a sense. But it wasn't an America success. And that's the thing, is that we uphold values and we have no wiggle room, no sense of what an excuse can be for America. And you said it perfectly. I mean, we were the laughingstock for majority of the league. You know, I saw pundits and you know, shows that tore into America and criticized them for the way that they exited, for the way that they took their penalties, for the way that they missed chances, and for the way that they played against Colorado, right? And they tore us apart in that sense. But that's always going to be the case with America, no matter what. You know, if they're not lifting the trophy, it's always going to be scrutinized by the media, especially the Mexican media. And when they're looking at this, and you know, they're tearing and picking us apart in the sense of, you know, America was, you know, supposed to be the big giant favorites of CONCACAF, and you know, they get torn apart against Colorado in penalties. And so it is frustrating to see it from that perspective. But for the most part, I mean, you look at you know, at the beginning of the tournament, we said progression in the way that this team is playing is important to us. And we saw gradually how we started competing and we started playing better, right? The Atlas game, the St. Louis game, and then, you know, lapses against Colorado. But really, honestly, that Colorado game was poor in all senses. And yeah, and Jardine comes out and he kind of takes the criticism to the chest and says, you know what, it was a failure, by all means, in the sense of what America is. But you know, we're gonna continue to try to progress and do better in the league. And we all thought that, you know, playing against Puebla would have been an easy way to transition back into league play. But we all saw the game last week, right? And for those who didn't, we'll get into it and we'll discuss. But for everything that we praised this America team in previous podcasts, for the game against St. Louis, for the game against Atlas, for everything that we praised and what they were doing, you know, games against Aston Villa, it feels like we're taking steps backwards at this point in a stage in the season where we shouldn't be doing that. We should slowly, progressively be taking steps forward. And we're not. And that's the worrisome sign for me, at least. So yeah, that's our League's Cup debacle. We exit in the quarterfinals. And honestly, maybe it was for the best, because if we would have played LAFC, I don't think we would have looked good at all. So,
oh yeah, I mean, like I said, it did feel that for weeks, you know, like I'm just trying to understand, right? Because you have to look at it from everyone's perspective. Because even though we underachieved, right, everyone knows they're worse than us. You know, that's something that people need to also look at it. You know, we underachieve, yes, because also our standards are way higher than everyone else. But from a league's perspective, right? I mean, when Mazatlan is the other team that goes as far as you, right, and farther, because they played a group stage, but we didn't play a group stage, right? There's a conversation that needs to be had, and to me, like, there's a lot of things to highlight, but for me, it is a question of, well, why can't you play short week? Even if you look at it from our short week, normal short week, our short weeks tend to be ugly, right? Especially when we're traveling. So, you know, that's, to me, it might not necessarily be a travel thing, but it could be like simply, hey, these players don't know how to recuperate in 3 days, right? They don't know how to be ready in 3 days. They have to have a whole season and a whole week, I mean, and it's concerning, because we have this conversation about Libertadores. Well, you're going to have to really, you
know. And that's going to be worse, right? Because the travel is way worse.
Travel, and it's very physical and everything, right? And so that's why, to me, it was more like, you know, use these type of games to develop youngsters, because, you know, maybe they could, they're the ones that are really going to benefit from these type of games. Meanwhile, you could take advantage of other stuff. But, you know, in the day, you know, we're GMs from the bench, from the couch, right? What is the correct term? Couch coaches or whatever. We don't know what exactly goes on in the training, right? So,
yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's easy to pick and kind of choose at, you know, from a distance, but I mean, we do have some points and some credibility to that.
And so, I like planes, you know, there was an absence, right, from Sendejas, and more Javairo, right, because Javairo wasn't playing, but did he play against Colorado? No, right?
No, Javairo was injured at that point, remember?
Yeah.
He goes out in the first half against St. Louis. But, you know, he's right. I like playing, says, yeah, it feels like Sendejas and Derulto's absence changed everything. And he's not wrong. And this is something, too, that we have to, you know, kind of throw in the mix, is that America lost players in this League's Cup. And it seems like, you know, it feels very Piojo Herrera 2020-2019 era, where we were just losing players left, right, and center to
Gibber.
To Gibber. So it feels like that in a sense, right? Where America's injury curse is kind of coming back to haunt Guapa. And, but that's the last thing you need. And so, I mean, yeah, from that perspective, of course, it was always going to be difficult. But I think my argument is that, you know, you had enough of a talent pool to get through at least Colorado, you know? Once after that, you know, we talk LAFC, Columbus. That's a whole different story. I feel like,
well, forget the roster, forget the lineup, bro. You're pushing forward the whole game, and you're not necessarily how to explain. You're not necessarily being aggressive with it, right? It's different when you're playing a back and forth game where, okay, you could sit here and say, okay, my so and so is missing because that guy doesn't necessarily play the wing, or that guy doesn't know how to counter like that guy, or that guy's more of a scoring threat than the other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're having a game where, and it's both games against Puebla, we're going to get into Puebla in a bit, and that one kind of got under my skin way more than the Colorado, because it's like, all right, it's Puebla, you know, there's no way, in the way the game was played. But both games are very similar in the sense that your opponent's sitting back, and it's all about you attacking. But so, and they're not able to push forward, right? Like I said, we're going to get into a Puebla goal, but look at that goal. It's like, that's how we're getting get scored on, you know? And in the Colorado, they were sitting back. They tried to run forward, and they couldn't. And then, for whatever reason, I don't even know the stats, but I think Christian said in the chat, we've only shot like 3 times at target, and we're in their face the whole game. And it's like,
yeah, a lot of white,
you know, shots. So I can't even say like, oh, we needed so and so. Mind you, maybe you could say it in the Puebla game, but in the Colorado game, you really can't say it. You know, it's simply, you know, they had a game plan. You didn't know how to score, and we lose in penalties, and it sucks. But at the same, like I said, it depends how you see it. It's a glass half full or half empty, you know. And to me, it was just one of those things where it's just like, man, it sucks. But they played a game plan to drag it to penalties. If Igor scores that penalty, we're talking differently. Maybe not, maybe so. But to me, I would have been like, okay, whatever. And then, you know, the LAFC game would have been a whole different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I can't sit here and say, oh, so-and-so was missing, because, you know, when teams were just sitting back and defending, like, there's no reason for, you know, mind you, it's still a strong starting 11. They're just a player playing out of position. And we just couldn't score.
Yeah, no, I mean, both Colorado and Puebla games, you have to point the finger at America, you know, for not executing and finishing the chances that you do get and the chances you do produce, right? It wasn't that you just couldn't find a way through. It was you just couldn't find the back of the net. And so that's poor. And for the standards that America was last season, right, the most goal-scoring team in the Apertura and one of the best attacks in the Clausura, for America to kind of sit here and kind of not be able to score against Colorado or Puebla, that's just poor. That's a poor standard, and it's just it can't be happening. Not to a bicampeón. And so that's the argument in a sense. But yeah, that's America's exit out of the League's Cup. Unfortunate, and you know, we'll be back next season, of course, because this tournament looks like it will continue to push on. And so hopefully next season we're talking about a much, much better and deeper America run in the tournament. And I guess we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens in that sense. But Colorado ended up losing to LAFC, and then LAFC went on to lose against Columbus Crew, a team that America is going to play in about a month's time, a little bit less than a month's time, in Campeones Cup. That game seems to be like a real, real nail biter. There's a month's time. There's a lot for America to still, a lot of time for America still to kind of progressively get better. But we'll see what happens in that sense. Manuel Paredes saying here, is it true that Alejandro Sendejas is going to be playing after the Fecha FIFA on September? Manuel, that is what is being reported at the time, and I would not be surprised if that is the case. It doesn't look like they're going to rush Sendejas back by any means necessary, especially with, like I mentioned, the curse of the injuries that America has been having this season. I think they don't want to risk anything. They don't want to risk anything. They don't want to put anyone at risk. So I do expect Sendejas to be back and available for the Clásico against Chivas after the international break in September. And so, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens in that sense. excuse me. Well, let's move on and let's talk Puebla, right? Because America exits out of the League's Cup. We think, okay, cool, we're back in a week's time. America then goes and plays against Puebla and puts on, again, one of the worst performances we've seen America do in the Jardine era, right? Probably one of the worst games that he's lost. And yes, granted, it was only by a margin of 1-0, but you're looking at the aspects of what, you know, Chris was saying. It's against Puebla. You're at home. There is no need for you to lose this game, let alone tie. So it's unfortunate, and we'll talk about it. But there are some alarming concerns for Americanistas, right? And so I think that we need to start being objectively critical and you know, analyze this game for what it is. A terrible match. A match that, you know, leaves a very sour taste. And now America's sitting in 11th. Is it 11th or 12th in the league? Behind Puebla, all right? That victory puts Puebla ahead of us. So I'm just trying to paint a picture of the severeness of this result and what it means. You know, you're talking about an America side that has played 5 games and has only, 5 points to showcase for it? I might have got that wrong. Hold on.
We have 6 points.
6 points. Excuse me. Look at that. 3 losses, 2 victories. That is what? How many times did America lose in the Clausura? Was it 2 or 3?
I think.
No, one was in the Apertura.
Can't even think of which games we've lost, honestly.
So we only lost 2 games in the Clausura. Right? 2 games in the Clausura. 1 in the Apertura. America only lost 3 games last year in the whole season, the whole calendar year, right? The Apertura and Clausura put together, America only lost 3 times. America has now lost 3 times in just 1 half of the season, which is the Apertura.
Not even half. It's not even half of the season, and we're being honest with each other.
Exactly.
Right? How many games are left?
It's still the beginning. We're 5 games in, so there's 12 games left. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We're at a little bit past the quarter. So, progressively, we're getting worse. And that is not ideal. And so, I think that, you know, yes, granted, there is a lot of external factors in this. One, the fact that we have Sendejas out, we have Javairo out, we have no proper left winger to replace Quiñones. There's a lot of if, buts, and maybe still to kind of assort. But this is Puebla. This was a game in where if you sit down and you watch this game, America dominated for an entirety of what felt like 90 minutes.
I don't even want to say dominated. Honestly, like, I'm so disgusted by the game that it was like a team that was just asleep and the other one was sleepwalking. And the other one just kicked the ball up and ended up getting the ball.
Literally, I just toe-poked and that's it.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say dominate. I think that's giving credit, bro. And I don't want to give credit personally. Mind you, I'm a little bit optimistic or more reasoning to teams or our teams, right? But there's just no way that the way the game went that I could see and say, oh, we dominated. No, we didn't. Like, that was pathetic. Like, it really
was. Yeah, no, maybe dominant was the wrong word, but I do think that America were showing signs of being the better team to potentially, you know, they created more chances. They had more opportunities at goal. They had very good golden opportunities to put the game to bed, right? And so it just was frustrating, right? Like I like Plain says, it was painful to watch that game. And it really was. But I came into this game with that sensation or that feeling that whatever we lost in that Leagues Cup game against Colorado, we're not getting back in this game. And I told you guys after the Colorado game, I am not confident that this team is capable of beating Puebla at home. And that's a big statement to make, right? Because you're thinking, well, we just lost in penalties. It's fine. Like, you know, we're still the better team against Colorado. We'll find our way and, you know, we'll push through and we'll get the 3 points against Puebla. But that wasn't the case, and that still is not the case to this sense, you know? I don't have a good feeling about this team at the moment. You know, granted, it's getting a little bit better with the fact that we're going to get a couple players back from injury, but still, the way that this team is playing, it's a shadow of itself from last year. And so, I don't know. I think that this is one of those things where hopefully that this game is a wake-up call, not just for the players, but for Jardine as well. And it kind of is the turn. It is the turn of the season where we start seeing America get better, you know, play better football, do better things, you know, finish chances, score goals, and look like that threat that we once were. But it was unfortunate. And you know, this Puebla game was everything that could go wrong, went wrong in that sense. And so, I mean, I don't know how else you would categorize this game.
It reminded me of that historic Mexico versus IT game. You know, I think maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but the goal that they scored is just, they kicked it up and they found it, like, you know, like, it just, like I said, you know, I don't, there has to be reasons, right? Obviously, like I said, Javairo, Aguirre, Cáceres being subbed out, right? But like I said, and I said it last time, I think Christian was on and we were on, and I said, if there's any failures, who are we going to highlight? And we all said Baños, right? Or whoever is making these signings nowadays, because you go in and bring in three center mids, right? You go in and bring in a third keeper, a second keeper. You bring in Aguirre, who we all agree has been a good signing so far, right? And it's just been everything except what we really needed, which was a left wing. Mind you, let's say Quiñones would have stayed, right? You still needed to go look for someone to cover Cabecita's absence, right? Because we all, you know, when he left, a lot of us were kind of like, whatever, you know, we're about it. But now it's like, you know, you miss a player like that.
Yeah.
And now you only have Brian. And mind you, I don't necessarily, I kind of want to step back, because I slander Brian a lot. It is not necessarily his fault, even though he does have fault. Like, yes, he's very average. You know, yes, he's very inconsistent. Yes, he has days where he's just, like, balling, and you're just like, this is the guy. And I'm sure LAFC fans probably believe it, because when we signed them, everyone said, man, you're signing someone that's very, like, average. You know, very, like, a lot of people said bad player. And then we watch him play, and he's not a bad player. But his decision making just stinks, man. Like, it's so bad. And it's just like, he'll be at goal and he'll go for a pass, or he'll shoot so late. And it's just like, man, like, why is so much hesitation, right? And I'll see Henry Martin open, and what does he do? He'll, like, hesitate to give to him, or he'll wait until the last minute where he's already marked again. It's just, like, super frustrating. But like I said, it's not his fault, because at the same time, I think we all agree he's not a bad depth player. He's not a bad player to have compete, right?
No.
So whose fault is it? And then, you know, like, to me, it's just Baños. And then, like, where do you go? Someone commented earlier on a post, and they said, where's the $15 million we got from Quiñones, right? Like, $16 million. The reason he leaves is because they paid such a high price that no one else would have paid, right?
Yeah.
So who's coming in? And me, you, Christian, we have these conversations, and we're looking at the free agent market. That's how, like it's dumb, you know? Like, why are we looking at the free agent market? And there's not a good name in the free agent market either, you know? And then today is the last day for players inside the league. So we're bringing in someone from elsewhere. Like, where is he going to come from? Does he know the league? Does he know Jardinez? How much are we really going to spend? Because you go and bring in Chiquito Sanchez, who, again, another player that is not necessarily his fault, because I watch him play, and I don't think he knows what he's supposed to play, right? One moment he's an attacking mid, another one he's a center mid, and then we're putting him at right wing. Like, you know, so for me, like, a lot of this mess really comes down to just Baños and all these, like, I do those type of signings on career mode, where I'm just stacking up my roster, and all these, like, players that should be playing should be, like, they're in the reserves just because, you know, and it's like, that's what it feels like. I don't know if you feel the same way, but it's just, like, it's all over the place, right? Like, what was the point of bringing in Jefecito?
That one makes no sense to me. Has he
played a single minute?
No, I think he's only featured off the bench with a friendly against Juarez before the season started.
See, like, that's my point. It's just, it's all over the place, right? And we have, today's the last day for in league signings, and I think it's like a week or two until the whole transfer window closes. So it's like, man, we're really messing up with all this, right? And then we bring in a free agent. Who's to say they're even fit to play?
Absolutely. We spoke about this 2-3 weeks ago, right? Start pressing that panic button if you don't hear any news by the following week and so on and so forth. I agree. I 100% agree with you that there's fault to be blamed to the front office, right? That there is, I think they had a plan. They had an idea. Right, we don't know a lot of things that go on behind the scenes, but it felt like they were stacking up for a reason. I think they felt like there was going to be a big exit from one or two players, and I think they were waiting for that to happen in order for a foreigner spot to open up, and then they were going to go for, you know, X, Y, Z players. And so I do think that there was a plan in motion, and just for one reason or another, it fell apart, and now they were kind of stuck. Bounded with their hands tied behind them because there wasn't really wiggle room to start making movements. And so I think that's the unfortunate part in that sense. As far as what we're seeing on the pitch and as far as, you know, the poor displayment that we saw against Puebla, I want to throw it 100% to the coaching staff. I think Jardine got this wrong. I think Jardine did a terrible job in kind of relaying what he needed and wanted to see from his players. There is no need for you to be playing a 4-2-3-1 formation when you don't have wingers. And we've talked about it so many times. Why not play with a diamond formation, right? We have all these midfielders. We have all this kind of players that can run and play in the midfield. Why not just play a diamond formation? Why not play to your strengths? Why would you have to gravitate towards a formation that uses the width? And you're sticking players like Brian Rodriguez and Eric Sanchez out on the wings, but you're still telling them to cut in and kind of come in to the middle. Like, to me, that's making no sense whatsoever. And granted, look, I don't want to be heavy critical on Jardine, right? The man just won us, what, 4 trophies in 1 year? Crazy, right? Absolutely. But this is still in America. At the end of the day, we've seen managers fired for much less. So you have to remember that you still have a responsibility, a duty. And yes, everything that you won is great and awesome, but guess what? That was last year. And America fans have short memory. So, you know, you have to go out there, you have to perform yourself, do your best. And so, granted, I'm not trying to, you know, dig a hole for Jardine to kind of bury him 6 feet under in that sense. It's just this one game against Puebla. I get that. But it's not going to get any easier after this, right? We have a tough game against Cruz Azul, then the international break. That international break is needed so heavily by America right now that I wish that it was this week rather than next. But after that, you have the Clásico Nacional. After that, you have a game against Atlas. And then after that, maybe you get a little bit of a breathing room against Necaxa. So
we have friendlies too. We have against Atlético Nacional and against Chivas too. So
exactly. And in the mix, after the Necaxa game, or is it before the Necaxa game, we have the Campeones Cup match against Columbus Crew. So it's not like America's getting a break in September, right? The season is ramping up. It's getting to that point. It's getting, you know, to the sense of where things are starting to kind of heat up for America. They need to start looking better. They need to start producing better results. They need to start getting confident. Because at this point, there's not one player on that roster right now that fills me up with confidence. I see a Malagón that just looks like he's just kind of fed up with his defense, you know? I'm looking at
I do see a player. I do see a player. I think you'd agree that Javairo has been that.
Yes, no,
that
he's been a great player for us this season. But the only issue is he's been out for 2 weeks now with an injury. So it's not like he's added to this, right? So I do think that it's unfortunate, you know? Chris Ramirez is saying, any chance we go undefeated the rest of the way through? And that is a good question. At this point, right now, if you're asking me right now, with the way that this America is playing, no, 100% not. I don't think we're going to go undefeated. I think we're going to lose a lot more games. And that should not be the mindset of an Americanista that has just won a bicampeonato coming into a season where the hopes and aspirations are a tricampeonato. So right now at this moment, when you ask me, Chris, no, I don't think we can go undefeated. I think we're going to lose more. I think we're not going to play to our standards. But we can revisit this question in 2 weeks, 3 weeks time and see what the results are looking like. I think a lot is going to be said after the Clásico Nacional. After that game against Chivas, we're really going to see where America is. And hopefully, it's at a good state. And then we can revisit that question and say, can we go undefeated for the rest of the season throughout this point in time? We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see at that point.
I think as of right now, right, because you're looking at it also from one, you still don't have your left winger, so you don't even know how it looks, right, for the rest of the season. Okay. And then injuries, right? Because let's also be honest, right? When you start stacking up a lot of games, you tend to lose Diego Valdez and you tend to lose Henry Martin. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm knocking on wood that doesn't happen, but history tells you they're going to miss games, right? So maybe, you know, it is possible that we have ugly ties, right? Because we've seen it with the team that we'll have ugly ties that feel like losses. Now, is it impossible that we go undefeated and we have all a bunch of ties, a bunch of wins? It's very possible. But at the same time, like I said, you have to look at it from a roster standpoint. Who do you believe in? You know, like, do you believe in Brian Rodriguez right now? Well, a lot of people would say no.
Not at the moment, right?
Do you believe in the Richard Sanchez in case Fidalgo leaves? Because we're going to get into transfer in a bit. And if you were to leave, you have Chiquito and Richard fighting for that spot. Do you believe in either one of them? Mind you, and this is a conversation that we're not having, that we're going to end up having this conversation later in the season. Maybe not a main topic, but just a brief topic. Jonathan Dos Santos is getting older and you're starting to see him lose a lot of balls, right? We're going to have that conversation, you know, and he's already talking retirement. So that tells me that he already has one foot out, right? When a player has one foot out, you start to see, you know, that decline a lot. You know, so let's say Jonathan loses his spot. Do you believe in Alan Cervantes? Do you believe in Jefecito, right? Who are coming in for that role, right? For that depth, for center defensive mid. Henry Martin. There's players I believe in, but another one, Nestor Araujo is playing way too much for our liking. Do you believe him? Do you believe in him? And let's say he gets into a form where he's good enough. Do you believe that good enough is good enough for us? You know, no, do you believe in Borja? Do you believe in Israel Reyes? Do you believe Kevin Alvarez is going to get is going to come back healthy and look like he looked his first season? You know, there's a lot of ifs right now. So, like I said, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, we're the worst team in the world. We're the worst team in the... No, because I still expect us to be in Liguilla, even if it's a middle range. I don't expect a repechaje, but it's just a middle range, you know. That's the thing about Mexican soccer, right? Me and you were here talking about all this America looking bad. We also know that all that matters is how you enter Liguilla. You know, we've seen lower tier Liguilla teams come in strong and take out first place. So at the same time, you know, that's why I'm not panicking. But it is one of those things where Ivan, you would agree, it's a standard thing. It's not necessarily we're losing our mind because we're going to be last place. No, that's not the feel, right? It's not that we're going to be last place. It's a standard. If the first two seasons with Jardine has been champion, first place, and you make a drop, well, the standard's dropping, and you're going to lose a little bit of your patience with the team because it's like, okay, there's no reason for this team to now decline when the ceiling has been champion, first place, right? And you got to point fingers somewhere, and you're going to point fingers at the coach. You're going to point fingers at the front office, right? And you're going to look at the players, too, and say, why is so-and-so there if they're simply not good enough to be here, right? Why did you go and spend $8 million on a midfielder who is going to be benched or isn't good enough than the guy that you that's leaving if someone were to leave, right? There's a lot of conversations that we'll have right now.
I think that all stems back to the beginning of the season when we were previewing this and where I mentioned to you, right, how much should we as Americanistas taper our expectations coming into this because we had just come off kind of one of the highest of high roller coasters, right, which is a bicampeonato. And so I think that's one of those things in where you kind of take into consideration that, all right, it's you have to, you know, taper expectations knowing that you're coming into this and things might fall off the pedestal. But we said that after that, we said, you know what, the bar's as high as it's ever been and you have to continue to kind of find a way to surpass that. And that was always going to be a difficult ask. But because you set the bar at that standard, it is what it is in that sense. And so that is the case. But joining us, look, I thought today was going to be a solo podcast, and look at that. I'm even blessed by getting joined by the man himself from Texas. It is none other than Mr. Dylan Jimenez, a.k.a. Cowboy Dan. Dylan, how are you, my friend? And before you answer that question...
I'm tired.
Well, there you go. You answered it already.
Too late.
Well, we're talking about America and Puebla, right, and the fact that it was a poor result. But then we kind of veered off and went to a little bit of a tangent of, right, how the season's been going for America, the fact that, you know, we're pointing fingers at the front office, a little bit towards Jardinet in this game. And so I want to kind of readdress this question to you and kind of format it a little bit differently and ask, do you think that this fall off was always going to be coming for America? Was this always inevitable? I knew I was not going to be able to say that word. Was it always going to be a thing that was going to happen in America's trajectory? And if so, should we have tapered our expectations coming into this season, knowing that there was a possibility that you were probably not going to be able to reach the highest of highs?
I think I've said it before in the past. I mean, especially after the Quiñones sale, I mean, you knew this team was going to regress. And we've obviously seen it. Honestly, even though I did expect it, I didn't really expect it to be as bad as it's gotten because, and I still stand by it. And I know I've been saying this since like July, maybe even June, late June, early July, that, okay, like the board just seems like it's just taking forever, even though it was so early in the transfer window. I was like, the board just seems like it's taking forever to get this replacement on the left wing. And Ivan's trying to calm me down, but like, it's still early in the window. And then Chris too, the same way too. But then like, we just never really seemed like we got that replacement. I mean, Ivan, in the past, you've always talked about how the club's broke and, you know, can't bring no big names in. And now we have the money to, you know, splash cash, you know, yeah, or get something really good. You know, I always said to you, didn't necessarily have to be a Womba, but, you know, just something that was sensible, something that was going to fill that void. And obviously we still haven't done it with the window closing so soon. And I don't know if I doubt anything is coming, in my opinion. So, I mean, I guess to answer really your question, like, yes, I did. I think it was obvious, especially, like I said, can you honestly mean that this team was going to regress? I think I've even stated that before, but I didn't think the regression was going to be this bad. Is what it feels like.
No, absolutely. I think you're spot on in that sense. I think that, you know, there was always going to be a fall off, but we always expected that this America side was going to be capable of coping with that. And I think because they had such a good transfer window last year, we thought that the front office was going to be maybe up to new standards and that they were going to do things differently. And so, you know, it was unfortunate. I think Midwestern Cholo put it perfectly right. The inaction from the board came from the expectation that guys like Fidalgo, Richard, and Cáceres were going to leave. You know, now they're panicking because there's no foreigner spot. And that's the truth, you know? So it is unfortunate. It is what it is. But I don't want to drag this on any more than we probably already have. But yeah, poor result against Puebla. America sits in 11th place now. Let me just double check. It's not 12th. Yes, it is 12th. So America sits in 12th place now with 5 games in total. So again, it's still early days in the season. I know there's still 12 games left. I hear it. I hear from everyone. Every optimistic, every optimistic person out there that is an Americanista saying, look, it's only 5 games in, 12 players. We had a big break in between because of Leagues Cup, all these injuries. I get it. There's still a lot of time in that sense. But for me, right now, things are not good. And no one can sit here and say that they are pleasantly at a good state with America because of what they're seeing, right? And so it's going to be a big week for America. It's a big game against Cruz Azul coming up. We're getting a couple players back from injury. We'll talk about that in a second. But as things stand right now, not looking good for America. Not looking good whatsoever. But all right, let's talk transfers a little bit here before we jump into the game against Cruz Azul. The biggest one being, as Manuel Paredes has put out, Emilio Lara going to Necaxa. That was the big news that broke today. Dylan, I promised you Club America transfer news today. And I delivered, in a sense. Wasn't probably the best of news that we were all expecting.
No, it wasn't.
But it's still transfer news nonetheless. I mean, look, this is a player that we've been wanting to get off. Yeah, Christian was very excited about this. But this is a player that we've been wanting to get off our roster for a minute. He's not had the best of PR with Americanistas in recent times. He looked like he was going to be the next up-and-coming greatest thing that's ever come out of our cantera. Guy took a dip, got a bad bunny tattoo, and never really looked the same after that. So, yeah.
That's what I blame, the tattoo.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, that's the biggest news that we have at the moment. The Fidalgo thing has gone quiet. You know, last week, we didn't podcast, but there was kind of this big rumor.
There was news.
Last week, we didn't podcast, but, you know, the big news was that Russia came in for Fidalgo, and it was Senate and it was going to be this big thing, but it's kind of died off. There's not really been much talk in social media. I know there was mention of it in the game against Puebla from Gibran, but really it's gone a little bit quiet. The Richard thing to Cincinnati has completely just gone dead. Not here.
Big news.
Yeah, big news in that sense.
Gibran personally, and he responded. Which you broke news with that too, right? You asked him a question.
Yeah, I asked him a question about Ochoa, and he just kind of gave me the roundabout. But yeah, news of players leaving. We only got one confirmation, Dylan. But the biggest thing is, like you've mentioned, right? The thing you've been echoing all transfer, well, this whole transfer window for America is the lack of rumor or credibility of a left winger coming in, that Quiñones replacement. It's still up in the air. It's still looming. And honestly, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. This next week is going to have to be America's biggest week ever because the transfer window closes after Labor Day. So a week left, basically. A week and 2 days, maybe, you know? Actually, less now, right? Because it's Tuesday, so actually less than a week. How are we feeling, Dylan? Do we get this over the line? Yes or no?
I think we do, but I kind of always allude back to we get to this point where I was like, it's just a panic buy. And I'm just not for sure if this is going to be the right fit. And then I feel like, in a sense, Ivan's going to be all like, no, yeah, this player is going to be good. Then 2 games in, Ivan's going to be like, this player sucks. So,
yeah. Well, that's the thing with me. I have such high standards in that sense. You know, life for my son's not going to be easy, but it's one of those things, right? You just have this high standard because you just know that there's been so many great America players that have come through the past. And so,
It's hard to have high standards for me when it's so late in the game. And
you're right. In that sense, yes, you're right.
And especially too, how, like, me and you, we've been doing this for so long, and how long have we sat here and be like, okay, like 2 days before the thing closes, and they assign somebody, and
absolutely
it doesn't make that much sense. So I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to have those high standards, at least for me, because absolutely. We've seen this before too. So
you beat me to it. You beat me to it because I was gonna say that. I was gonna talk about how this feels very much like 2018, 2021 kind of, you know, situation where last minute stuff, you're going down to the wire. It shouldn't be this case, right? And go back and, I mean, no, don't go back and listen to those episodes. Probably wasn't the best episodes ever. But if we go back to that time frame, we heavily criticized the front office. We heavily criticized Baños for the lack of intensity and for the lack of moves throughout the transfer window at a reasonable pace. And now you're kind of back to your old ways. Granted, we know why at this stage right now America has not done anything. It's because we don't have any foreigners to kind of, no foreigners, no wiggle room. We still haven't sold anyone. The only reason we are in a spot to sign anyone, Chris, is because Igor's injury is 6 to 8 months. He completely misses the apertura, and he's going to miss a little bit of the clausura. So that is the only reason why we have this opening. And I'll revert the question back to you, Chris. Do you think America gets this through the line? And I'll add a bonus question to that is, do you think we get a very good player with such a short time frame to go? Because like I mentioned, you have less than a week.
The only thing I could say is, and it's confirmed, right? There was negotiations with Victor Davila very early on. It didn't happen. Why? Because we were waiting on a foreigner spot. Do those negotiations get finalized now? Because if that's the case, right? Well, this is going to be an opinion between us three and in the chat, right? How much do you rate a Victor Davila? Mind you, a player that knows the league, a player that could come in like a puzzle piece and just fit right away. And he plays to what Jardinet likes, a winger that could play center, right? That moves center. Like you said, like Ivan, you always point this out. We don't really have natural wingers. We have players that play with the wing, they go in, right? And that's what Victor Davila is. Very similar profile to Quiñones. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he's as good as Quiñones, but I think he does things a lot different than Quiñones, right? I don't think he's going to be the goal scorer that Quiñones was. But he will be a very key player to what Jardinet wants. If that's the route we go, I guess you could say maybe it's not a bomba, but it is a very logical, right? Logical signing.
No, which one is always said too.
Yeah.
Me and Christian were talking about this in the morning. You look at the free agent market. There's not really a lot of players that you sit here and say they're going to come in here and impact right away. I bring up Martial and you guys laugh because you guys are United fans and you guys are probably like, man, we don't want that guy. To me, that's the bomba signing that you have to kind of look for, and anything else is kind of in the free agent market, it's a disappointment, you know? Because that's a 28-year-old that got the same profile, right? He's a winger, but for United and Sevilla, he played the 9, and he could play center if he needs to. To me, logically, you know, you're looking from a tactical standpoint, as a player that Jardinet probably likes. Anything else, I'm kind of with Dylan. I'm not expecting a bomba, especially now that the transfer window, I guess, officially closed now in Mexico. There's no Idrissi, right? There's no Jurado anymore. There's no one in Mexico that you're looking at and saying, and it's good, right? Because a lot of people are scared about Luis Quiñones. I would have retired for the season if it was Quiñones, bro. I would have been like, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not dealing with Luis Quiñones. But yeah, now that nightmare is out of the way, there's really only looking at it from a player that we were already negotiating for, or a free agent market that is very meh. So yeah. I stand with Dylan. I'm not expecting this bomba. And it's sad, bro, because we said this early on. You go back to early in the season, we all agreed, whoa, it has to be a bomba. It has to be a Quiñones-type signing. when Quiñones came, we were kind of iffy about it, but we knew he was a great player, right? And he came in and did that exact impact that we kind of wanted. Or we did want, actually. Not kind of, but we did want. So now it's just, you know, like I said, it's either Davila, someone like Martial, or expect a very, no, someone's coming for sure. It's going to be in Saralde again. It's going to be that type of signing where you're just like, man, what is this? You know what, when Eagle went down, I went to go look at the free agent Mexican center backs, and I saw Jordan Silva. I didn't have a team, and I said, yep, that's the guy that's going to come. But that's,
well, thank God they said that they were not going to get a center back, so we're good in that sense. Luis Gonzalez saying, saludos, bros, desde Westminster, California. So shout out to Westminster. Shout out to Luis. Neighbor. Practically. My neighbor, practically your neighbor. Yeah. It's got to take like two freeways, and that's it. Manuel Paredes is asking, do you guys talk about America Feminine or just Club America, since the Feminine gives us a good result yesterday? 0-1 versus Leon. Typically we don't, just only because AJ's not here. And AJ is our America Feminine expert, right? He is the know-it-all of America Feminine. And so out of respect to AJ and what he does. Yeah, absolutely. Give AJ a follow.
The best person to follow for all women's football.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm a casual when it comes to women's football, and I just read everything and I just listen. If AJ says it's the sky is red, I believe him.
Then it's red. Absolutely. Yes, shout out to AJ. Yeah. Manuel, we would love to sit here and dedicate the time to the ladies. Unfortunately, we are not as expert as AJ is, and whenever AJ is on, I do feel like we're in a good spot to talk about America Feminina. So shout out to AJ. And yeah, shout out to the ladies who won 1-0 against Leon. So, you know.
Sarah scored.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sarah too. Lubert just doing her thing. Always doing her thing. Yeah. But back to this whole America debacle of who's coming in, who's gonna come in, right? We've heard a couple of names. Victor Dávila is one that hasn't resurfaced, but probably is maybe a little bit closer to happening than the other ones. I've heard Cucho Hernandez from Colorado. I find that one practically almost impossible. I don't think Colorado would let him go. Huh?
Or Columbus?
Columbus. I don't think Columbus will let him go. Absolutely not. Not in the state that they are right now in their season. They have just won Leagues Cup. They are looking like the strongest team in MLS at the moment. And he is one of the most... Huh? And yeah, all of CONCACAF.
He's the best team in CONCACAF, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's too vital of a player. America would have to spend upwards to $25 million to kind of take him out of Colorado's hands, which I don't think we would spend anywhere near that. Another name that has been surfaced is Buanga. I hope I got that right. From LAFC. That one seems a little bit more sensible to us just because of, you know, the fact that LAFC, they're in a point in the season too where they need all their players, but I think if they let him go, they would be able to replace him, no doubt. And so he won't be cheap, that's for sure. I think you'd have to spend upwards to 12, maybe 15 million to get him out of LAFC's hands. He's just that important. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of names linked to America. There's going to be a lot of rumors. So follow us over on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. We can keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. Like I mentioned, it's not going to be an easy transfer window for America at the end. Let's hope for the best. Dávila would be a very sensible signing, and you asked, right? Would be content at this point? Yes, he would be the perfect signing in that sense. But we'll see what happens. You know, Dylan, you never know. America might be able to find a way to snatch. Who's a good player for you? Memphis Depay from the free agency. Look at that.
Is he even a left winger?
Yeah, he played left wing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But he's not the best left winger.
Supposedly he's giving an offer. So, to Mexican team,
Monterrey, I think, was the name that was linked to Memphis. I don't know if that's going to be true. But, yeah, it's going to be a turbulent transfer, end of transfer window for America, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add on in regards to that. But it sounds like both Dylan and Chris are confident that this is going to get through the line. If it doesn't, you guys know who to get mad at the end of the transfer window if America does not bring in a left winger. So
Ivan, for letting us talk.
You guys can send all your hate emails to the podcast, and we'll read them out loud. Absolutely. We'll have a whole segment, and you guys can thrash on us for selling you guys fake news.
Well, at least I'm not here next week. I got city council, so.
Well, don't worry. We'll tag you. We'll repost them on all our social media platforms. We'll tag you in them. Don't. You'll be able to see them. But all right, we've extended this long enough. We've gone over an hour here. But let's talk America versus Cruz Azul. The Clásico Joven again. Once again upon us. Usually, whenever we go up against Cruz Azul, we usually have this arrogance of, you know, hey, it's Cruz Azul. Just beat them in the final too. So I would have expected us to be coming into this game kind of with our chest out and, you know, standing tall and everything. But honestly, Dylan, we're coming into this one and I am worried, absolutely petrified at the fact that America could, in a way, get embarrassed by Cruz Azul.
Yeah, no, I think that is in the realm of possibility with the things, with especially after Pueblo's gone. So, you know, a little nervous actually going to the island. I can't remember the last time I was nervous going into Clásico Joven. But, you know, I guess I'm just kind of holding my breath until the 90 minutes go.
Absolutely. Chris, what are the chances that that repeat of that 5-0 against them, that they scored on us?
Was that in the Azteca?
Yeah, that was in the Azteca.
It was in a 5-2, right?
5-2, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think something like that, yeah.
It was terrible. What are the odds that that's going to happen again?
You know what? Yes, like I said, be ready to send the hate emails if I'm wrong, right? I'm going to be arrogant because it reminds me of Nacho Ambriz's time with us. I don't know if you remember. It's an iconic game, right? Where we're losing 3-0 and then up 4-3. But if you remember, that America team was playing very ugly. Arguably worse than this team that's currently playing. I don't know if we tied or lost the Clásico before that against Chivas, but Ambriz was like literally like last straw. He's gonna get sacked.
He was practically fired at halftime.
Yeah. And we came back and won 4-3. Mind you, I'm not predicting that that's gonna happen, but I'm reminding you guys that it is possible that a bad America team comes in and beats us. Mind you, they're first place. So a first place Cruz Azul team that's playing good is very possible, because even though I've debated or I've made huge statements that isn't a Clásico in my opinion, because it's just a envious team. Meanwhile, we're just beating them all the time. You know, that's really the rivalry between us and Cruz Azul. Like, an envious team that kind of wanted to be like us, right? Owned by TV Azteca. They wanted to play in the Azteca. They wanted Clásico Joven, right? They didn't want to be the Clásico Nacional. They wanted to be the Joven. They wanted... forget about the Chivas Clásico. We're the young one. We're the real one, because it's newer. A lot of just envy from that side, right?
Yeah.
So the way I'm looking at it is, I'm optimistic that with Javairo back, Aguirre back, someone else is coming back. Remind me. Oh, Cáceres back. It could be a very different game, right? It could be a very different team. They lose Antuna all of a sudden, right? I don't even think they were expecting to lose Antuna. It was just one of those news where Tigres said, how much? Okay, here, boom. And they took them. I believe it's going to impact them, because now they're going to have to go and play a youngster. And I don't know who the youngster is, but I'm just assuming, because that's how they were last year, right? The very youngster death. So I do think that's going to impact them. So for me, I'm not expecting us to lose 5-2. Mind you, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if we perform the way we've been performing against we did against Puebla. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an ugly outcome. With that being said, I kind of lean more of a favorable outcome for us just because I do think, you know, like I said earlier, short week, you're getting players back, you know, you have a full week. I mean, it's just, I would lean to a better performance from us. Also, Jardine, Fidalgo talk. And to me, I'm confident when they speak, and I'm sure the locker room feels the same way.
Well, one thing to note, that historic and classical game that Chris was talking about, Dylan is wearing that jersey. They were wearing the Centenario jersey that day. There you go, see? Yeah, crazy game. And I agree to the sense of what you're mentioning, Chris, right? And it's kind of the typical saying, right? In a classical, nothing's ever guaranteed, right? It doesn't matter how you're coming into a game, as long as you're playing it with heart, and whoever wants it more is gonna have it at the end of the day. Midwestern Cholo saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but last season both teams came into it with similar momentum. He's referring to that game where Quiñones scored like 15 goals, but he was offside for all 15 of them. Granted, it seems similar in that sense, right? Cruz Azul definitely was first place. America was not in 12th, though. America was sitting somewhere in like 8th.
We're winning ugly games.
Or 6th.
We're winning, but ugly game.
Yeah, but this time we're not even winning. We're just looking ugly. So that's the thing. I want to be optimistic, Dylan. I think that you and me both would want to be optimistic. We're just pessimists by nature. But there is, like Chris mentioned, right? There is something tangible to be optimistic about, which is the sense that you bringing back Javido, you're bringing back Castades, and you're also going to be getting that Aguirre back. This is not to say that they're all going to start. I don't necessarily think that they're going to be off the rip, but we'll have him on the bench, at least definitely Aguirre. And honestly, I don't think he risks Javido right away. I think we see him come off the bench.
Yeah, but that's kind of my problem too. Is you know, we sit here and complain like, you know, what are these subs? Why are we waiting till the 80th minute for subs? I mean, mm-hmm. like, granted, like, I do agree. Like, you know, these players, you know, they're not going to get rest and start, you know, considering they're come off injury. But you know, what if we're in the dire need, you know, for Javido or Aguirre to come in or something, or just to shake something up? But we don't get into like the 80th, 85th minute, and then it's like, what good does that do? So, I mean,
absolutely.
That's something that we have to, especially we complain about subs all the time too.
Yeah. That's always been, hiding his Achilles heels in that sense, is that his substitutions have always been late. And as of late, very questionable.
So, I
do think if we do have a Javido that starts the game on the bench, we hopefully see him around the 60th, 65th minute of the match. Right, where we definitely feel like he would come in and make a bigger impact. Because what can you expect from a player in 5 minutes when America loves to play down the left-hand side and barely touch the right-hand side, you know? And Javier's going to be playing on that right side. So I think there's got to be some sense that has to correlate with the substitutions. And so I hope that, you know, Jardine does make them in a sensible way. But we'll see. We'll absolutely see. I guess, really, I don't want to stretch this longer than we already have. I know that we're coming into this game in a weird way because, like you mentioned, it's been a long time since I've come into a game against Cruz Azul where I don't right away feel like we're going to win this game. You know? This is the first time where there's questions and doubts. And we'll see, right? The biggest thing would be for America to get a result, get a victory, get 3 points, and somehow kind of shift, to shift momentum in that sense. So we'll see. But all right, give me your prediction for the game on Saturday. I'll throw it to you first, Chris.
Yeah, I'll go with a 2-1, I think we win this. I think we get scored on because I do think Néstor Araujo plays. he hasn't been playing bad, but I do think it's one of those things where it's just like you're just not confident in him. And mind you, maybe Cáceres doesn't start, right? I don't know how. It's weird. They told us it was a head injury, but it was like one of those things, right, where we didn't get into what exactly it was. So for me, like, you know, 2-1, I think we win.
2-1. Okay. I like it. What are you going with, Dylan?
Sorry, guys, but I think for some odd reason we're going to draw this game.
A draw?
I think I'm going to go 2-2.
Okay.
Oh.
2-2, that's a lot of goals. I'm not.
Yeah. I think we, in a sense, see this team take a good step in the right direction. Considering, like Chris said, like, you know, this is a classical, you know, I think a good chunk of these players know what that means. And I just feel like we take a good step in the right direction, but we fall a little bit short of getting a win.
Okay. All right. 2-2, 2-1. Manuel Paredes saying 1-0 for America. I like it. That's very optimistic. Chris saying 1-1. I don't ever want to predict a loss for America, and I'm not going to, just because I don't think I've ever have on the podcast, even though this.
I don't think me or you have Ivan ever since we started this.
Absolutely not, but this is the first time I would actually say, you know, otherwise. But I don't, and I want to be a little bit optimistic here, and I want to say that America finds a way to not lose this game, and we draw this 1-1. I'm with Chris Ramirez, but I hope I'm wrong. You know, I really do. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that America comes out here, showcases something a little bit different, and just completely kind of turns me around. You know, it there's a lot in between from today to the game, and where, you know, you never know. Maybe the announcement of this new signing kicks this team into overdrive in a sense and motivates some of the players. Brian feels like he's out of a job, so he starts performing and looking better and this and that. And so there's a lot of things that can happen from this point on to Saturday's game against Cruz Azul that, you know, things could be different. And so we'll see from that aspect and from that perspective. But I'm going 1-1. And that's crazy. Absolutely crazy. But yeah, hopefully it's a good one. That game's gonna be live on TUDN Saturday at 8 p.m. Pacific, 10 Central, 11 o'clock Eastern. It'll be a late one. So,
I hate how the games start when I'm in the show.
Yeah.
Because it was the first half.
But it's okay. It might be for the best. It might be for the best. Well, gentlemen, anything else to add on before we wrap it up here?
So it's Cruz Azul and then Fecha FIFA, right? And we don't play that weekend?
Yeah, we do. We play against Atlético Nacional from Colombia.
But I mean, league-wise, we don't play that weekend.
No. We play on the 14th against Chivas.
Okay, so it's a quote-unquote break because, like you said, we play against Atlético Nacional, but...
Yeah, throw the youngsters really in
there. There's a lot of fans that don't watch those games, right? So
yeah.
So it's Cruz Azul, break, Chivas.
Yep.
So I'll ask you guys one quick question. Let's say we win this game against Cruz Azul and we look like us. Does it worry you that the break kills momentum, or you guys are okay with
it? No, I welcome the break. I think America needs the break right now. And that's crazy because we just had a break before League's Cup. But right now we need to get players back. We need to get players back. We need to start training a little bit more. And with this new signing that potentially could come in, a full week of training would be wonderful before he actually has to start playing. So that's my take on it.
And that, right, full week's gonna drop, that full week's going to drop Ivan's expectations from 2-1 game. So after one game, you can have one bad performance. If he doesn't pick it up,
he's out.
Second,
he's out. Bench him for the rest of the season. Absolutely. But hey, we'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas de América. Follow us over at Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast. And yeah, we'll do our best to make sure that we, you know, we keep things going, and hopefully things go well for America in that aspect. But yeah, I guess nothing left to do but kind of sign off. Apologies for the long show. We did have a lot to talk about, and we did go on a little bit of a tangent at the beginning of the episode there. But hopefully you guys have enjoyed this, and hopefully you guys will come back next week as we talk all things Club America in that sense, get you guys ready for the international break, and then, of course, the Clásico Nacional. With that said, gentlemen, anything else? Good to go. All righty then. Well, let's not keep these guys up any longer. I know it's late. Well, with that said, you guys have a wonderful night. Take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.